from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. With Jared Stillman on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. NHL schedule release later this hour. We will have a Predators schedule. What will it look like? I don't know. How much do I care about kind of the structure of games in the NHL? I don't know. It's weird. It's going to be like a normal schedule again. Not the, you know, the two-game series, the two-game series.
Normal division.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I feel about that either, but we'll have all that. And, of course, the Stadium Series game at home against the defending cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. So there is at least that to look forward to. But it is time for Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
So we've talked a lot about Texas and Oklahoma potentially joining the SEC. I am against it because I said I just don't like change, but there is one change that I'm totally open to, and that's the move to streaming services. So we've seen a lot of streaming services embracing live sports. You look at NBC Sports moving their live sports to Peacock.
So you're for this or against it?
I'm for it.
Why?
Because I don't have cable.
But what about these old P-pops that want to watch cable?
Well, adapt.
Okay.
Well, and Amazon has secured a deal with the NFL, getting Thursday Night Football. But there is one streaming service that has said absolutely not, at least for now, and that is Netflix. Netflix has been asked several times about adding live sports to the streaming service. Hulu has as well. Hulu is adding live sports.
What's Hulu adding?
What does Hulu have?
Yeah,
like I don't know. I just, you know, see those commercials that Hulu has live sports.
But that's a Hulu Live. That's like the TV channel.
Yeah, well, okay.
They got ESPN and like those channels. That's their live sports.
Yeah.
They don't have any special live sports. Movie.
But they have live sports.
Well, yeah, but that's like Hulu Live. That's like, that's not the same as Hulu. Like, when I think of Hulu, I think of like, you know, if I wanted to watch.
Okay, well, Netflix isn't having any of it. Okay. Netflix will not have a Netflix Live. The co-CEO, Ted Sarando, said our fundamental product is on-demand and ad-free, and sports tends to be live and packed with advertising. He said our investment right now to make live sports even worth our while would be about $10 billion, $10 billion with a B, and they just don't see that benefiting their product for the investment that it would be. Now, they have talked it back a little bit and said if that becomes the next wave, if we see that that is going to benefit our streaming service, then that's an investment that we're willing to make. But for now, no to live sports on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix has hurt the industry and has made them more dependent upon live sports because you can't DVR live sports.
Right.
You can't, you know, we will
can,
sit there.
But
nobody does. You know, everybody has that one friend that'll DVR a game. They're like, good, we'll watch commercials. And then they'll watch it, but literally that's one friend. It's not like...
It's always like the weird friend, too.
Right. So you can't DVR live sports, you can't DVR politics. Those are the things that... So live sports has become a big deal with this. Netflix is the reason why... Netflix and the DVR are the reason why broadcast TV just simply isn't as popular anymore. Because all they do is it's like, well, do you like this show on NBC? I mean... What are the new shows on CBS this fall?
I have no idea, and I really don't care.
Okay, when I was a kid, we knew what the shows were.
Yeah.
Like, those things are gone. So I don't think it's big for Netflix's business model. The question would be, if people get so swamped, over-swamped with streaming, and this is where I think Hulu and Disney Plus would have the advantage because they have ESPN Plus. Mm-hmm. But if people become so just swamped with subscriptions... Netflix doesn't have, like, another angle it could pivot to. Peacock, to your point, has NBC Sports.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Fox has, like, a streaming element of that. So
CBS has Paramount.
CBS has Paramount Plus. So they don't have, Netflix does not have an angle they could pivot to with this. But I agree with Netflix's decision. I always view Netflix as like an 8 o'clock at home, nothing, no good sports on TV,
right.
Flip it on Netflix kind of thing.
Just kind of blow in some time. But I think also the way that streaming services are going is you see with Hulu, ESPN Plus, and Disney Plus, they're sold as a bundle. Well, that's essentially cable. So we all just moved away from cable because you can, if you could buy a bundle of, let's say, Netflix and whatever, then that's essentially just buying cable.
It is, but because you can buy everything individually, it's also not.
You get to pick and choose.
So correct. I understand that. But, you know, the streaming services, I think, like, most Americans are getting streaming fatigue. I think I am getting streaming fatigue, you know, subscription fatigue. It's like, I got 1,500. I don't even know what the password is. My sister's screwing up this on that one. And, like, it's a lot. So the big thing for me, as far as live sports, this is how I could see Netflix get into the live sports game. If Netflix and Sinclair, that owns Bally's, if they made a deal, and then Netflix ended up branding. Now, they've already signed the deal with Bally's, so it's hard for me to see that. But I could see Netflix basically buying those regional sports networks now that Sinclair has, you know, they were up here at one point. And I could see Netflix really streaming. Like, you want to watch Predators? Stream it. And I could see that being the case. But that's all I got.
It could be. But I think that Netflix has branded itself as essentially, like, its own network.
Yeah, it's binge watching.
It's binge watching, and it's like they produce their own shows and movies.
Sure.
They used to just pay for these movies that already exist, but now they've invested so much.
Well, every studio is taking them back.
Yes.
So Friends, you know, Warner Brothers is like, no, we're taking that back, HBO Max.
But Netflix is like, that's fine, because we make our own shows that are really popular, because everyone has Netflix. Not everyone has Peacock.
I do wonder what the long-term play for Netflix is going to look like if they lose more original shows that everybody grew up watching. But that's neither here nor there. What's next?
So Deion Sanders walked out of SWAC Media Day earlier this week. So there was a reporter who addressed him as Deion when asking him a question. And he says, you don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion. If you call Nick Saban Nick, you'll get cussed out on the spot, adding, I don't do that. So don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick. Pretty bold statement. He tweeted this the day after. He says, respect is something that you must demand and stand for. Give respect and honor to those that should be respected. And if you don't respect them, don't allow your feelings to escalate the situation into something else unhealthy. Always maintain your peace and joy, because it costs you dearly, and don't allow anyone or anything to take that away. No disrespect to Deion. This feels like an overreaction.
I think you took the cheese on it, though.
What?
The story that came out that day
was
the Clarion Ledger, the paper of record in Mississippi, where Jackson State's located.
Yeah.
Came out with, their highest recruit in the history of Jackson State has been arrested on domestic violence. The reporter who reported that has been barred from interviewing Jackson State players, according to Jackson State. And apparently Jackson State ran some interference at SWAC Media Days from this reporter reporting on it. The Clarion Ledger made a big deal about it and has appealed to the conference. And that's a big story.
That is a big story.
That is a big story, that the number one recruit that has ever signed with your program just got arrested on domestic violence. I don't know the exact charges of it. So Deion Sanders throws a temper tantrum and nobody's talking about it. And that's a total diversion, and you took the cheese.
I did.
And that's...
I was bamboozled.
I will say this about Deion Sanders.
Well, I also don't want to say that nobody's talking about it.
I'm not sure a lot of people are talking about it. Is that in your headlines?
No, it is
not. So Deion throwing a fit 2 days ago, that is. But it covers up the story. It covers up the real issue here that Deion probably doesn't want people knowing about. That, I will say, when you hire Deion Sanders, you're hiring the guy that dumped a water cooler on Tim McCarthy. Like, that's what you're hiring. So I've always looked at it like, you know, what do you want your brand to be? At Jackson State in the SWAC, I guess they don't care. They just want people to pay attention. We talked about this when Darren said that TSU, before hiring Eddie George, was really thinking about trying to make a run at Ray Lewis. Mm-hmm. And you and I looked at each other like, do we remember what Ray Lewis did? Like, maybe not a good idea to coach college kids. But, like, when you hire Deion Sanders, this is what you get. You don't get a grown-up Deion Sanders. You get the same guy that started a high school named after him, a for-profit high school, in which he shut down because he wasn't getting his cut of the money. The NCAA said their academics were so bad that it cost Emmanuel Mudiay his opportunity to play college basketball. Prime prep. That's what you're hiring.
prime prep.
So I don't, I mean, I'll say this. I wouldn't acquiesce to Deion Sanders. And I don't even, I think it's a circus. I do. I think it's embarrassing to HBCUs to have Deion Sanders turning this into his playground for attention. But you know what? That's what he wants to do. That's what he's going to do.
That reporter, I do know, he used to cover LSU. I knew him from covering LSU baseball and football. Great guy. Great reporter. He came out and said, when I interview people, I call them by their first name, whether it's someone I've been working with for years or someone I'm talking to for the first time. I mean, I've never really thought about how I address coaches or players whenever I talk to them.
I'll say this. I have spent a lot of time, like, having worked in sports and then worked outside of sports. Mm-hmm. I've spent a lot of time. I mean, I don't even know. Like, all of my coaches, I still call coach. You know, I can't tell you if me and Clark Lee were, you know, knocking back a couple of cold ones, and I don't even know if he drinks or anything like that, but let's just use this as an example.
Right.
I don't know if I call him coach or not. I don't know. I feel like I call coaches coach. I feel like I call them by their first names. I call
right.
I don't, you know, to me, I've never thought about this. And I don't think it's wrong to call a coach coach. Like, Joe Rexroad made it sound, you know, like, you know, when you're in the media, you shouldn't call a coach coach, and you should. I don't have any problem with that. I have no problem with that. The way I look at it is, like, if I were to mail out wedding invitations, it would be like coach and missus. You know, it's like when a guy's a doctor.
A formal addressing of someone.
I guess. Like, when somebody's a doctor, and you're like, oh, Mr. Smith. He's like, hey, I didn't go to 8 years of medical school to be called Mr. It's like, I didn't go through all those years of coaching to be called Mr. You know, that's maybe a little over the top for me.
Right.
But I have, this is crazy, because I don't think you owe Deion Sanders any sort of apology.
No.
For calling him by his name. But at the same time, I don't have a problem with somebody calling coach coach.
No.
Like, I'm not like Joe Rexroad, who, you know, Joe is, oh, I would never call a coach coach, except for my coach that I played for in Little League. Like, okay.
I do think it's weird if you address a coach as, like, Mr. or Mrs. Like, Mr. Saban. Gross. No. Coach, first name, Coach Saban, whatever it may be. I mean, I personally don't find any sort of issue with it.
What's next?
So, 49ers linebacker Fred Warner has agreed to a 5-year, $95 million contract extension, which would give him $40.5 million guaranteed, the second highest guaranteed total for a non-edge rushing linebacker in the NFL. He's only behind C.J. Mosley's $51 million guaranteed by the Jets. So, pretty big.
Fred Warner's a bad boy.
Yeah, he is. First Pro Bowl selection last year, 125 tackles, 2 interceptions in the 2020 season. So, scary thing to face.
No, Fred Warner's a bad boy. Here's the thing with the 49ers. Can they stay healthy? Mm-hmm. Can Jimmy win them games? Because that division's not easy. And they haven't stayed, you know, two of the last 3 years, they've been terrible because they haven't stayed healthy. The year that they weren't, they went to the Super Bowl. The year that they were healthy, they went to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, they've got some bad boys now, and they are paying the money. They're going to have to, by the way, on Nick Bosa as well. That's going to come up here in the near future where they're going to have to pay some big bucks as well. But San Francisco, I mean, Fred Warner, he is a bad 615-737-1025. Those are headlines with Caroline. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Later this hour, we are expecting a release. A release on the Nashville Predators schedule. When we have that, we will break down whatever it is that we would find important about that schedule release. So we'll pay attention to that. But also coming up, if there is a change to the SEC, you add Texas, you add Oklahoma, how should the league go about structuring the East and West divisions? The SEC Network has an idea. What do we think? We'll get to that next. We're live from the Whole Song Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
How much do you think the SEC would really want Texas and Oklahoma to actually join the conference?
I think they would want them for a couple of reasons. And the first is the most obvious. They don't want them going anywhere else. I mean, the SEC became the biggest guy on the street because they went out and picked very well, and they have such a serious and passionate fan base. But if you're the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, do you want Texas and Oklahoma going to the Big Ten or the ACC or someone else and suddenly start challenging your position as king of the hill? So I think that's a big motivating factor. Another thing is television. I know that sounds strange on a program like this, but the SEC is about to enter into one of the biggest television deals with ESPN. The college football playoff expansion is on the table. So I think the SEC is sitting here. They got the call. They thought about it. And I think this thing is pretty far down the track.
Dude, I told you, if Paul Feinbaum says it, I believe it. And when it comes to the SEC and TV, and he says it's along the way with Texas and Oklahoma. And Caroline Fenton, we have some news on the Texas and Oklahoma front, if you would.
We do. So the Big 12 is holding a conference call to discuss the news about Oklahoma and Texas potentially joining the SEC. And Oklahoma and Texas are not on that call.
What do you think they're talking about?
I think they're talking, I don't know. I mean, are they talking about how they want it to happen or not? Are they talking about the repercussions? Okay, us other members of the Big 12, what will we do? Are we going to stay as a conference? Are we going to disperse? I don't think that there is any way that the Big 12 can survive without Oklahoma and Texas.
Nope, I think it becomes every man for themselves. And I know this because I lived it in college. And this all, to go, just to recap it, and then we'll kind of get to what the SEC would look like.
Right.
When I was in college, 2010, Nebraska was still in the Big 12, and that was a big deal, Nebraska and Colorado. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, Nebraska goes to the Big 10. Nebraska goes to the Big 10, Colorado goes to the Pac-12. Utah, which had been hot, Urban Meyer was their coach for a little bit, mm-hmm. Utah joins the Pac-12 as well. This was back when the Pac-12 was the Pac-10. Then you started to see the tectonic plates of college sports move, and that was Texas. And there was a lot of talk about where would Texas go. And that's when the Big 12 allowed them to form the Longhorn Network in order to keep them. A&M got mad that Texas was going to rake in more money than Texas A&M. A&M bolts to the SEC. Missouri goes with them. The ACC, to keep up with the Joneses, The ACC adds Pittsburgh and Syracuse. Now the Big 12 needs a couple of teams because they've lost out. Well, TCU was right there. That makes sense. Add them. And they add West Virginia. Now, I was there at Louisville when Louisville was putting together the bid for the Big 12. It was between West Virginia and Louisville for that last Big 12 spot. They picked West Virginia. Why they would ever pick West Virginia, I have no idea. But they picked West Virginia. And I always felt like when all this was happening that Louisville's best fit was in the ACC anyways because of basketball. Mm. So you'd have like the basketball element, you know, Duke and North Carolina. And I always felt that way. But at that point, you didn't know. And it was every man for themselves. And then this is when colleges got out of control. When the whole like, you know, we want this big market or we want... I get the SEC wanting to go into Texas. That makes sense. They got Texas A&M. I get the SEC getting Texas if that's what ends up happening. But then the Big Ten got a little too greedy, and they went and jumped out, and they added Rutgers, because they thought that was New York. Ridiculous. And then they added Maryland, because that was the Washington, D.C. area, And when that happened, the ACC needed a team to replace Maryland, and that's obviously when Louisville jumped in and decided to join the ACC and got lucky enough, and that was the last one. And so then that started the American Athletic Conference. Connecticut, who I think, you know, I know you guys are younger than me, But Connecticut was a legitimate Power 5 school. Like, legit. And now they're forgotten. Max, didn't you tell me that they're coming to play Vanderbilt for free?
Yeah.
I mean, like, So that's, I mean, think about this. Like, come on now. So, how would it look if the SEC, if you added Oklahoma and Texas? You brought up Ross Dellinger. He put this out from the SEC network earlier today. And this is complicated to me. So this is their proposal on their morning show. Now, I know most of the people that work at the SEC network, they're fine. But I wouldn't consider anybody on the SEC network like superior in terms of knowledge about the league and what they're doing, except for Feinbaum. He's the one guy because I think he's got the direct line. But here you go. This is a proposal on SEC this morning. A four team pods Pod A, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, South Carolina. Pod B, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. Pod C, LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Pod D, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas. Now, so you got those four pods. Mm-hmm. So think of it like college basketball regional. You know, the East, the West, the South, the Midwest, whatever. You play the three teams in your pod every season. Mm-hmm. So for this, we'll use Vanderbilt as the example. Vanderbilt plays Alabama, Auburn, and Tennessee every season. Two games against the other pods. So 1 year that's Florida and Georgia, the next year that's Kentucky and South Carolina, and you would host every team at least once every four seasons, which is good because right now it's like Alabama plays Vanderbilt 1 year, you know, in 2017 or whatever, and they don't play at Vanderbilt again until like 2025. So this would alleviate that. So that would be okay. Mm-hmm. But here's where we get into the semantics of the SEC and this kind of breakdown. I don't think the league, these teams, are going to be okay with the idea of Arkansas getting to play Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas every year, and Tennessee has to play Auburn and Alabama every year. I think when you get to this, are we going to vote for it? I think you're going to see the schools start to then worry about the possibility of what's good for your football program, what's bad for your football program, and saying, no, 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 no. We'd instead, we'd like to get a pod, us, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and Mississippi State, please.
Well, and that already exists a little bit with the East and the West, because there are a lot of teams that have to play Alabama and Auburn every year.
Sure, but that's like, not to be, you know, Mr. Tradition, because you know I'm not, but that's like, you know, LSU wants to play Alabama, or you're resigned to it because you're in the SEC East or the West. I mean, the truth is that there's balance on both sides with the fact that when you think of the, there's, to me, there's seven legitimate powers in the SEC, six and a half, because Tennessee is the one that's kind of like, you know, the question with Tennessee is, has their fall from grace been permanent or is it a reality? Mm-hmm. But there's seven powers in the SEC right now. There's three in the East. There's three in the West. And that's where I kind of, or I guess there's four in the West, three in the East. But you try to break it down.
Who are your four in the West?
LSU.
Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Texas A&M?
Yes.
Okay.
So you have those four. And then A&M's kind of a fringe too. Mm-hmm. And the hope would be, you know, you think of the tradition of the SEC schools in general, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia. So that's what you want. Now, I do think it's tough to add both these schools in and put Oklahoma in the East. The easiest thing, you brought this up yesterday, the easiest thing to do would be to put Oklahoma in the East. But Oklahoma is not on the eastern part of the United States of America.
Neither is Missouri.
That's true, but you know, it's like kind of like nobody really cares about Missouri, so you want to put them wherever you want to put them, you put them. But, I mean, you're right. You're right. If you do that, you put Oklahoma in the East, you make their traditional rival every year Texas, and you add, so you get to keep the Red River rivalry, mm-hmm. Red River shootout. You get to keep the Red River rivalry, and you still get Oklahoma, Georgia, Oklahoma, Florida, Oklahoma, Tennessee every year.
Mm-hmm. And then every few years, you'll get an Oklahoma Ole Miss, Oklahoma Mississippi State, Oklahoma LSU. I don't hate that. I think that, to me, that sounds like the easiest solution.
Would you go eliminate a non-con game and add a conference game if you do this? So that you can rotate them through more as opposed to the
I would add an extra conference game. Because I understand that cupcakes are,
like, Vanderbilt needs four cupcakes a year.
Well,
again, I mean, we're not making the rules for Vanderbilt.
Right.
But I am saying Vanderbilt needs four cupcakes a year. But now, if you want to do this, and I'm Vanderbilt, am I going to allow them to make this move because I want my four cupcake games every year, and now you're taking one away?
I mean, I don't think, with the way that this current proposal stands, I don't think that Vanderbilt would be in for it. Texter made a valid point that Vanderbilt, no matter how the conference is aligned, will have a tough time to have a winning season. I'll leave it at that. The cupcake things, I mean, I know that that keeps those schools afloat. But if we are going to restructure all of college football, that could change things.
Sure.
I think a lot of other schools will also have to eliminate non-conference games. And but you also look at a lot of the non-conference games, like, for example, Arkansas plays Texas. That is no longer a non-conference game in this scenario. That's a conference game.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I know, for example, Georgia's playing Miami, but let's say Georgia was playing Oklahoma. That's no longer a non-conference game. That's a conference game.
Right. So you're taking that extra non-con,
that extra,
and you're,
like,
you're making it a conference game because
hitters.
You've added to your conference.
Yes.
Plus, the other thing about it is
the cupcakes can still exist. There's just one fewer.
If you play each other, then you have... See, the other thing, too, is what do they do with the Longhorn Network? I don't think the SEC is going to allow you to do the Longhorn Network unless
Absolutely
you share
not.
All that money with the rest of the SEC.
If they want to maintain the Longhorn Network, then I can guarantee you, you'll have at least four schools that say no.
Well, here's the thing. Vanderbilt wants 1/16th share of that. So are you going to have the Longhorn Network and write a check to Vanderbilt for 1/16th of what the Longhorn Network brings in for the subscribers to watch Texas softball?
No.
That's what has to happen, though.
But then you're going to recreate exactly what happened with Texas A&M and Texas in the Big 12. Alabama's going to say, why don't we get a network?
No. I think if you're doing this, I think Texas A&M loves it. Because now you have to pay me your money.
I don't think that... Yeah, I hear you, but...
That'd be like if you bought a house and I got to charge rent for one of the rooms.
Don't do that.
Well, I'm just saying, that's what it would be like. But you want to live in my neighborhood, I get to charge rent at your house.
No.
But that's what Texas would have to agree to in order to join the SEC.
Then I think that from either side, either way you look at it, Texas isn't okay with sharing their profits. And on the other side, I don't think other SEC schools are okay with one single SEC school getting their own network. When you're looking at the Big 12, I don't think you really have a whole lot of bargaining power
so
there
what do you
about
do? Abolish their networks. Do you abolish the network? Or, see, I think there's a couple options here. I think you abolish the network and you just say, Texas, if you want to be in the SEC, you play ball in the SEC. I think the transition to ESPN Plus, which is where I think they want to put a lot of stuff anyways on the streaming side of stuff, I think that is kind of a, hey, what if we just put the Longhorn Network on ESPN Plus and anybody in the SEC footprint or anybody who has ESPN Plus gets access to Texas women's volleyball and Texas still has to share the TV revenue with the rest of the conference.
I don't think Texas would be okay with that.
I mean, Notre Dame last year shared. Now, I know, again, last year was a pandemic.
Yeah.
But I think this is the outline. Notre Dame shared their NBC money with the rest of the ACC last year in order to play college football. So, I mean, if you really want to make this move, Texas, you can't keep... Texas can... Maybe I'm wrong on this. I'm not saying this without the shadow of a doubt, but I'm just saying... I don't think Texas can have their cake and eat it too and go to the SEC with this.
No. You cannot continue to be who you were in the Big 12 if you want to be in the SEC. If you want to sit with the big dogs, you got to adapt. You got to pull up your own chair.
Let's take your phones. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your phones. Plus, one thing Feinbaum said that I do wonder if the SEC is worried about. We'll touch on that next. Stillman and Company right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell all of the fine folks out there about something very, very important.
It is very important. You told me about it earlier, and I appreciate you telling me that.
I appreciate you telling everybody that I told them to tune into Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9. Tonight, the Sounds play the third game of a six-game series against the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Pre-game show at 5:50, first pitch at 6:05. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza Kitchen and by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Breaking news, we have the Nashville Predators 2021-2022 NHL schedule. It is out. The opener at home Thursday, October 14th against the Seattle Kraken. So the Predators will open the season against the Kraken. Let me just state for the record, there are some good things and some bad things. There is the Stadium Series game that is in here after the Olympic break. So the last game is Tuesday, February 1st, break for the Olympics. Then they play a Dallas at home and then Tampa Bay at Nissan Stadium on February 26th. But let me say this. I think it would long-term be in the best interest of the NHL to move their season back to the start of November. But that's just me. So they start off at home, four in a row at home, Seattle, Carolina, the LA Kings, and the New York Rangers. They go on the road for a little bit. The CMA Award road trip at Calgary, at Edmonton, at Vancouver, at Chicago, at Dallas, at St. Louis. So that's a pretty deep road trip. And then they have their, I believe this is the SEC Women's Basketball Tournament, that they will be only missing two games at Seattle, at San Jose, but it also includes the Stadium Series game in there as well. And trying to see any more highlights, that's pretty much it. And they are all back to the original structure of the NHL Central Division in the Western Conference, and nothing else that is special about it. Any thoughts on your end?
I mean, it's just, you know, it's just the schedule. I'm very excited for the Kraken to be here. But yeah, other than that, it's a schedule.
I hate that name.
The Kraken?
I like the road jerseys. The road white jerseys
Let's
look
get
nice.
Kraken.
But I hate the name because
why?
So you may know this. I'm very fond of a radio personality out of Boston named Michael Felger.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on, he has a show in Boston as well. And he was talking about how, like, the bottom of the screen said Felger hates the name Kraken. And he was talking about, you know, it's a stupid Dungeon and Dragons. And then he, like, lost his mind because he's from Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And he was watching the game while he was on the air. And he, like, lost his mind. And when I was thinking about this, I'm like, you know what? He's right. That is a stupid name. Like, it is that stupid Dungeons and Dragons magic card Pokemon, like, you know, BS. Like, what's wrong with regular names?
What is a regular name?
The Warriors. Regular.
No, okay, that's boring. Yawn. They already have one in Golden State. Next.
Okay, but they have multiple Tigers. They have multiple Tigers in the SEC West.
Don't you dare attack my mascot.
I'm telling
you. Cardinals.
My high school team was also the Tigers. They have the Tigers in Detroit.
Yeah.
They have the Lions, too, in Detroit.
They have all the Cats in Detroit.
Okay. So, I think...
I like the funky names.
I think Kraken is stupid. I think it is like an Arena League football name.
You don't like fun.
No, I like fun just fine.
Well, Kraken is fun.
No, it is not. Again, I go back to... When he said it's at Dungeons & Dragons, I'm like, that's true. It's like that Magic the Gathering. That's what that is.
It's like... Okay, do you remember during, like, peak pandemic, everyone was locked up in their homes, and everyone was on TikTok, and sea shanties became a thing?
No and no.
Okay, well, to the people who do, that's what the Kraken reminds me of, is like old-timey sailors on wooden boats. I kind of like it.
Floyd used to tell me in the NFL, Floyd used to tell me in the NFL there's only like X amount of names that you're allowed to have, and that like they just recycle the names. So like once you lose that name, there's like another name. He's like, we weren't the first Titans. And I'm like, ah, interesting. So the NFL, like, there's only, like, 40 names you can have.
There's not going to be, like, a, you know.
There's not going to be an NFL team called the Kraken.
There's not going to be, the Minneapolis.
The Pikachus is not going to be an NFL team.
The Minneapolis Gorillas.
No. Let's get to your thoughts on the SEC. Again, Texas, Oklahoma, 615-737-1025. Matthew is up next. Thank you for waiting patiently. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for having me on. First of all, I love the name Kraken. I'm with Don on this one. Hey, I have a hypothetical question I want y'all to answer, and I'll hang up and listen. I don't think Texas can have their cake and eat it, too, in the SEC. Longhorn Network don't like it. I propose Kansas instead of Texas to propose a little balance in basketball and football, Oklahoma football.
Not going to happen, Matthew. Thank you for your call. Not going to happen. First of all, almost no decisions within the Southeastern Conference are made because of basketball. I mean, I say this as a basketball. I used to be a basketball fan. Now I kind of hate college basketball, but I used to love it. Like, I used to just live and die by it. But I watched Connecticut. Like, here's what I don't get. The Big Ten brought in Rutgers, right? And they thought they were getting New York by adding Rutgers. And I don't know how much the people of New York care about Rutgers.
I don't think very much.
I'm going to assume very little. Connecticut, meanwhile, had like a very storied tradition in basketball, and the Big East, the mecca of Big East basketball, was Madison Square Garden. And I wonder to this day why they picked Rutgers over Connecticut, because I feel like there are more people in New York who care about Connecticut, and if you really want Connecticut, not only that, you also, there are some people in Boston who care about Connecticut. Mm-hmm. But like, Connecticut was a legit school. They just sucked at football, because who in the state of Connecticut are you going to go get to play football? Nobody. And in all of this conference realignment, nobody once picked up the phone and thought, let's call UConn.
And we were talking about that yesterday. We were picking our realignment from the Big 12.
Sure.
It looks like Texas Tech was going to be the UConn of the Big 12.
Oh, no one wants Texas Tech. I mean, Baylor, TCU, I get Dallas. Texas Tech, I get Lubbock. You know, if you're, so the Big
it's not
10.
A sexy school.
The Big 10 gets a Dallas team.
Mm-hmm.
The Pac 12 gets a Dallas team.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gone. Kansas to the Big 10. Kansas State to the Pac 12. Because
mm-hmm.
Kansas State's a fine school. So Kansas State.
The Little Apple.
Iowa State goes somewhere. Probably the Big 12.
I could see them
Pac-12.
Going to the Big 10.
They probably go, well, no, but Iowa State's already there. Or Iowa's already there.
Okay.
So you need more TV markets.
Texas A&M's already in the SEC.
Right, but that's Texas. This is Iowa State. There's a difference.
Not an Iowa State fan?
No. It's like talking about the difference between Tennessee and Middle Tennessee State.
I am aware of the difference in size of Texas and Iowa State.
Okay. So that's not going to happen. So throw that one out. But again, you know, we played around with this. And I mean, I would say this for Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, all these Big 12 schools no one really cares about, be careful, because I watched what happened to the Big East.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried. I mean, I was there every step of the way. We were the last school out in this new conference realignment. You know, what started in 2010 and I believe ended in 2014, which is so crazy to think about your life. Like, time really does speed up when you get older. Because the difference between 2010 and 2014 to me was like, you know, that was my sophomore year of college when all this started, like junior year of college mm-hmm. to, you know, on the radio, established morning show host. And then, you know, since then, I've just been here the whole time. And it just, phew, so time does speed up. But, like, what started in 2010, ended in 2014 with us going to the ACC, you know, we tried to save the Big East. And they tried by adding football schools. South Florida, everybody that's in the American Athletic Conference right now was trying to save the Big East. And it didn't work. And Connecticut left and went to the Big East, that is the new Big East, the basketball Big East. They went there because that's what they had to do in order to at least maintain their basketball tradition. So what you don't want to be is you don't want to be that school that gets left out. Now, to the college point, where nobody's making decisions based upon basketball, or else Connecticut, who's kind of close to New York, kind of close to Boston, Connecticut would have been in somewhere. And I'm stunned that Rutgers got the Big Ten call of Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean, I
bet it was like a vote. I bet it was like a 9-person vote, and it was 5-4 or something.
Yeah, UConn really did get the short end of the stick there.
Like, what's so special about Rutgers? Have you been to Rutgers before?
No.
Okay, I have.
I've been to UConn before.
So I've been to both.
Okay.
UConn does kind of stink because it's in the middle of nowhere.
It is in the middle of nowhere.
Rutgers definitely stinks. Rutgers stinks.
And I think that UConn is a more recognizable brand than Rutgers.
Yes.
If you polled, let's say, 100 people on the street, how many people do you think would know that Rutgers is the flagship University of New Jersey?
Who's the other school in New Jersey? New Jersey Institute of Technology?
NJIT?
That's them.
What?
That's them.
What?
The New Jersey Institute of Technology.
Rutgers?
No, that's them.
Who's them?
NJIT.
Who are they?
That's a school.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you tell
me.
Like,
their claim to fame is they went like 0-25 one time in like college basketball or something crazy like that.
They have athletics?
Yeah.
They were in the NCAA baseball tournament.
What do they matter?
NJIT. I'm just saying, who else is in New Jersey other than Rutgers? Seton Hall.
Who cares?
Seton Hall. South Orange, New Jersey. You ever been there?
Haven't.
Sucks.
I've only gone through a train in New Jersey. I've never stopped.
Oh, it's awful. The one thing I used to hate
was like going to those schools when I worked in women's basketball, like going to those schools because we get back at like 2 o'clock in the morning and, you know, Louisville's cold, but it's not the Northeast.
I used to hate Syracuse.
Anything north of Pittsburgh, and even Pittsburgh, I didn't like during the winter. But, oh, it was crazy.
I'm fully aware of how cold it is. It is the worst.
1 week we'd be, like, seriously, 1 week we'd play a game on a Tuesday night in Syracuse, and on Saturday we'd be at USF in South Florida. It was wild. 615-737-1025. Caroline's is next. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. I still think I have one thing to tell the people about, so I am going to tell all those people about how important this is. As you know, Caroline,
it is very, a very important thing.
Very important
the
thing.
The people must know this thing that you are going to tell them because they are going to be just absolutely floored.
Tomorrow is your next chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you call into Robbie and Rex Road and correctly predict an NSC goal scorer on Saturday versus Cincinnati, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Call in tomorrow at 9:45. Still with a company, it's ESPN at 1025 The Game. I went 0-4 yesterday. We're tied at 4-6-2 each. It's time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman & Company
on ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
We've got Yankees Sox tonight. Red Sox, give me the Yankees on the money line, plus 100. I trust Jordan Montgomery with a 4.18 ERA in his 18 starts over Tanner Houck, who's 0-2 with a 3.38 ERA. He's got two starts, two relief appearances. I trust the vet a little bit more.
Tanner Houck has been a big name that the Red Sox are really excited about, so I'm going to go with the Red Sox on the money line.
All right, respect. We've also got Braves, Phillies tonight. Give me the Braves on the money line. I'm taking your guys tonight. Matt Moore on the mound for the Phillies. He's a lefty. So I'm taking Charlie Morton and the Braves tonight. I mean, it's kind of a pick'em, but I trust the Braves more.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Moore stinks. The Braves, I mean, the Braves really do. They don't have any players.
They just need to get the bats moving.
They don't. You going to do that without Ronald Acuna?
Yes. I think Matt Moore is not that great.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to take the Braves in the money line, too. By the way, I have no idea how we picked, since the Braves-Padres game we were going to bet was suspended, but since we both took it, I'm going to say that's a push. It was suspended 5-4 Padres in the fifth inning yesterday. I guess you're going to have to make it up at some point. So, anywho, I put that as a push, but I'll go with the Braves, too.
We also have a little bit of soccer tonight. Give me Atlanta United on the money line, plus 110 against Columbus tonight.
By the way, thanks, Max, yesterday for getting me on that soccer bet.
Yeah, Max was really, really into Nashville SC yesterday.
Is that why you're going to the well on picking Atlanta, because you picked against Columbus, or you picked a draw yesterday? And
you know, it's because I toured the Atlanta United locker rooms one time, and they were really cool. So,
but Columbus played Nashville last night, right?
Did they? Who did I pick last night? Columbus?
Yeah.
Oh, well then.
You picked a draw
even,
last night.
Even better.
I picked Columbus. So I have to take Atlanta because, I mean, back-to-back in soccer, play 90 minutes and then you're playing 90 minutes again?
Yeah.
Like, that's too much for me. No, hard pass. We're going to take a little baseball. I am going to go with the Miami Marlins on the money line. Adrian Bender going up against Blake Snell. Blake Snell has not pitched very well this year. He might be hurt that game in Miami. Give me the Marlins on the money line.
Give me the Padres on the money line, just to be different. And also their favorite in this game. So a little bit of push there.
Hey, Blake Snell, I think he's pitching with an injury. So
I appreciate the grit and the toughness.
That he's pitching with an injury?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a big baseball guy right there.
I'm just saying. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here today. We have a loaded Fireball Hot Take Friday tomorrow starting at 2. Slapshot Radio, they'll have the Pred schedule has been released. David Poyle talked today, which was interesting. David Poyle talked today. They'll have a breakdown of that. That's all coming up next. We are out of here. We'll see you tomorrow at 2.